Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for joining me this Saturday on the Shadow Talk Show on the Black Think Tank Network family. We're powered by and boosted by the Panther People's Party. And tonight we're going to be talking about education, not so much as education as to we know our children are not getting fully educated in the public school system. I do have a special guest who will be joining me this evening, who is currently a teacher in the school system in one of the cities in the nation. In one of the urban cities. However, our conversation tonight is going to be more surrounded by the news coming out of this current administration, where they want to combine the Department of Education and the Department of Labor. So not only are they not trying to use the public school system to educate your children, well, the public school system was never set up to indoctrinate and give basic skills so that there would be more of an educated workforce. So now they're going to basically give you two choices: educated, basic education, low wage workforce, or prison. It's now become apparent. Do not plan to upgrade. They plan to dismantle what's currently in place. Now, I'm not a proponent for public school education as it stands now in 2018. I think we, as a community, we do much better looking into homeschool collectives and charter schools, where parents and teachers can come together as a community to set the standards for a child's education, learning how to take a test, and being able to fill out an application so they can work a basic wage job. Some people would argue that currently our children are doing bad compared to other ethnicities and races, and I don't believe that's true. I believe at this time our children are doing better in 2018 than they have been in previous years. School graduations are going up. There's more students that are staying in school as opposed to dropping out overall nationally. There's more students attending college. There's more students graduating from college. There's more students going to graduate school. The enrollment of Black students nationally in many community colleges have increased. And that's something that should be spoken about and noted for the record. Now, at this time, I would like to bring in one of my callers. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, yes? Sister Stephanie, how you doing? It's Brother Ozzy.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Glad to hear you back on the air.
I know. It's been trying to get an adjustment, but I'm trying to get it together because, you know, I believe this is a forum that, you know, we could actually work on solutions instead of just discussing problem after problem after problem, you know? How you doing tonight?
Right. I'm doing all right. I'm on the plantation, so I probably won't be on too long, but I did call to show my support.
Thank
and I hope
you.
Everyone else is calling in, too, to show their support. What's our subject tonight?
education, but not so much that our kids are not achieving education. You know, a couple of days ago, they got this new joke that they're trying to do in your neck of the woods. They're saying that they want to merge the Department of Labor and the Department of Education, make it one department instead of two. So you know what that means, right?
Basically, they want a labor force more than they want an educated labor force.
Exactly. And they don't even want an educated labor force. They just want you to have some basic skills. And if you don't choose labor, you know where you go, right? There's just two choices. They're telling you the pipeline. There's two choices. Once you get one, you either go labor or you go prison. They're not giving you anything else. So we're going to have to move away from public school. But what did Malcolm X say? I forgot that quote. You remember that quote Malcolm X said?
Yeah, I think I remember that post.
What was the quote he said about sending our children?
Say that again.
What was that quote he had about us having other people educate our children? It was like
you don't let your enemies educate your children. Basically, that's what he was saying. You don't allow your enemies to educate your children.
And you know, we kind of got lackadaisical and we kind of forgot about that, and now it's coming to bite us because now they're basically, what, they don't even educate your kids no more. What, they get you ready for a test?
No, it's not really about education. It's about indoctrination. And really that's all that's taking place to me nowadays, because all the knowledge that I've gained after I left high school. and that's no lie. You know, did they teach you how to read? Yeah, they taught you how to read. Did they teach you a second language? No. You know, they offer it, but, you know, it's not something that's mandatory. And I think learning a second or third language should be mandatory. And I think that learning an African language for African children should be mandatory for African children, so that we can connect with the motherland if need be. You know, they don't teach us that. You know, basically English is a bastardized language, and it's taught out of commerce and not out of necessity. As far as you can go to China and you can find a lot of Chinese people that are able to speak English, but that's out of just basically doing business. That's not out of, you know, necessity. You know, it's out of commerce. It's not out of necessity. You know, that culture is, you know, at least, you know, 5,000 years old. So, you know, they keep their culture no matter what. And that's one thing that we as Black people have not done. We haven't been able to do, whether it be by roadblocks or whatever. We've been basically indoctrinated into a European type of thinking, where a lot of times we can't even connect with our African brothers and sisters because we don't know their culture. So, you know, definitely education is important if it's really educating and not indoctrinating. And over here, all you get is indoctrination. And on that, I'm going to yield.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Our kids are not taught in this country. Our kids are actually taught, indoctrinated. Hello, caller 6233. How are you
Hello?
This evening? Hi, how are you this evening? Hello?
Hello? Stephanie?
How you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. This is our
okay.
Guest. this is our first guest this evening. We're talking about education and how our kids are not learning. They're being indoctrinated, how they want to combine the Department of Labor, the Department of Education. And I think it would be interesting, since you are an educator, to hear your point of view on the subject.
I can give you a specific narrow point of view, and I can give you what I generally think. Starting with my own experiences, let me just clarify. I only work with black and brown kids. That's I purposely seek out schools where I can be, where kids, I feel like, need me. That's the easiest way to say it. Listening to some of you guys, a lot of the stuff you're saying is true, especially what he just said about they don't educate, they indoctrinate. That's one of the biggest problems facing not just our kids, but all the kids. If you look up the textbooks in Mississippi, they're just horrible. And then when you see that and you think about the mindset of the people that come from states like that, it's like the dots connect, because what they learn at school then transfers into their adult life and into who they become as a person. So we're missing a lot from what we should be teaching at school. That's why I believe that homeschooling of black children is on the rise. Me and Stephanie have talked about that a lot, and I'm all for it. Even though I'm a public school teacher, I absolutely 100% support homeschooling for black kids, brown kids. That way they can get more than what they just need, and they're not confined to that little space and that little time to be able to learn. You know, they're free to be able to learn at their own pace and get their own understanding beyond just what you can get within a tiny time frame in the classroom. They're just pushing them out. Like, there's no, like, I can't slow down. Like, if I have a kid that, let's say, and I teach math. Let's say if I have a kid that doesn't get a standard that I taught, I literally do not have the time to be able to go back and reinforce or try to reteach that child, because I have to keep going, because I have district tests coming up, and then I have my state test, and then I have my school test. It tests them to death. And it's not really, they're just repeating, they're not really learning, if that makes
sense.
They're not absorbing it. They're just learning how to pass the test.
And what you said is sad, because if you're not given time to work with the students, then they're basically setting these kids up for failure.
Yeah. And if I could be really brief, let me describe a perfect example of that. Okay, as I said, I work with black and brown kids, so they have those different classifications, and mine is called a Title I school for low income. Okay, so 5 years ago, when our district first took over that school I work at now, the test scores and everything were horrible. So they put them on a plan to be able to bring the scores up, right? So now what's happened is that even those, the area that it's in, now that all the kids are starting to pass the test, now they want to change the rules. It used to be that they had to pass the test. Now it's, and you have to have a certain score. Now it's, you don't get any credit for it if you don't show. You can pass the test, but if you didn't score a higher score than you did the year before, then you didn't show any growth. Which the test score is attached to the funding, is attached to the way they classify the school, which can have negative effects on the kids. So it's like, how do we win when they keep changing the rules?
they don't want those schools with. They want those
of
schools
course they
so
don't.
Fast.
Exactly. And then what? Go ahead. So it's like,
you go ahead.
So it's like already before I even get the child in my room, I'm already fighting a losing battle. And, you know, I don't have the capacity to, because it's so many rules, it's so restricted what you can and can't do, that it limits you on how you can even be able to reach the kids. Like, it's just so, the problems are just so compounded because they always expect and they always give you material to teach for the perfect student. Well, I know I'm not teaching perfect kids. I deal with kids that face homelessness, that face hunger, that live in extreme poverty. So how can you measure this child with somebody, let's say, on the other side of the track and expect them to be able to perform? And I have kids also that I have to deal with extreme absenteeism. That's a huge problem. So it's like, why do we continue to measure two completely different situations the same? I think they should get rid of the standardized testing altogether because it's a waste of time, really. We put too much effort into the test and not into the child. I don't understand how my student producing a certain test result is going to teach me about who that child is as a person. And teach me how to help. I believe if the only thing I teach in math is math, I'm doing it wrong. So they already set the kids up for failure before you even know their name. Because of the way the state has set up, the district, all of that. Before I can even get to my classroom, it's already lost. So it's like for me, I'm conflicted because I'm trying my best to work within the system because I feel like it's better for if I'm there with those kids than if they have to go somewhere else because their goal is to shut our school down anyway. That's why they keep changing the rules. They want to shut the school down so they can bus our kids somewhere else and deal with all kinds of other issues because they're you come from a school where it's black teachers, black students, black administrators, everybody black, and then you take them and you put them in their neighborhoods where they don't want them.
Clearly, why put them where they're not wanted? What is up with that? If the school is working in their community and they're achieving and they're passing your standards, why mess with that? I don't get that. What's the problem? Do you know? Okay, so I'm hoping she will call back in. We lost her. She will definitely call back in. But this, what she said is a real problem that most urban schools are Title I schools. They're set up to fail. When they get everything to standard, then they change the rules because they keep on trying to set these kids up and set these kids up and set these kids up so they don't thrive and they don't achieve. And, you know, what happens when you don't achieve? You end up in prison. At this point, while we deal with my technical callers and get my special guest back on the phone, I'm going to take a brief break on Black Think Talk Radio Network.
So I'm driving down the street with my 4-year-old nephew. He knocking back a juice box, me a Snapple. Today, y'all, we are doing manly shit. I love watching the way his mind works. He asks a million questions. Uncle, why is the sky blue? Uncle, how do cars go? Uncle, why don't dogs talk? Uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, 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 as if his voice box is a warped record. I try my best to answer every question I do. I say it's because the way the sun lights up the outer space. It's because engines make the wheels go. It's because their minds aren't quite like ours. I say yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we laugh. He smiles, looks out the window, spots a cop car, drops his seat and says, oh, man, Uncle, 5-0, we gotta hide. I'll be honest. Not happy with the way we raise our black boys. Don't like the fact that he learned to hide from the cops well before he knew how to read. Angrier that his survival depends more on his ability to deal with authorities than it does his own literacy. Get up, I yell at him. In this car, in this family, we are not afraid of the law. I wonder if he can hear the uncertainty in my voice. Is today the day he learns that Uncle is willing to lie to him? That I'm more human than I am hero. We both know the truth is far more complex than do not hide. Both know too many black boys who disappeared, names lost. Know too many Trayvon Martins, Oscar Grants, and Abner Louimas. Know too many Sean Bells and Amadou Diallos. Know too well that we are the hard-boiled sons of Emmett Till still. We both know it's not about whether or not the shooter is racist. It's about how poor black boys are treated as problems well before we're treated as people. Black boys in this country cannot afford to play cops and robbers if we're always considered the latter. Don't have the luxuries of playing war if we're already in one. Where I'm from, seeing cop cars drive down the street feels a lot like low-flying planes in New York City. Where I'm from, routine traffic stops are more like minefields. Any wrong move could very well mean your life. And how do I look my nephew in his apple face and tell him to be strong when we both know black boys who are murdered every day simply for standing up for themselves? I take him by the hand. I say be strong. I tell him, I say be smart. Be kind and polite. Know your laws. Be aware of how quickly your hand moves to pocket for wallet or ID. Be more aware of how quickly an officer's hand moves to holster for gun. Be black. Be a boy. Have fun. Because this world will force you to become a man far more quickly than you'll ever have to need to. He lets go of my hand, but Uncle, he asks. Uncle, what happens if the cop is really mean? And it scares me to know that he, like so many other black boys, getting ready for a war, I can't prepare him for.
That was Javon Johnson.
Hi, we're back on Black Think Tank Radio Network on the Saddle Talk Show. My caller is back on the air. I'm going to bring her back in. One second. Hi, you're back. I'm sorry, you dropped. Hi, I want to ask you to hold on because we have another caller, and I just want to bring them into the conversation too, okay? Hold on one second.
It's all good.
Hello, caller 2322. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, that caller must have us on hold. What you were saying was absolutely correct, and many people don't hear the black teacher's side of the story when it comes to, when they're talking about education. They don't hear the concerns that your student body has that's different than the standardized student body that they prepare these tests for, or their standard student body. And if that divorce gets away with combining these departments, how detrimental it's going to actually be to black children and black kids nationally. And I'm going to give you...
Hello?
Yes. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a concerted effort to privatize education. What does the Department of Labor have to do with education? I haven't found a profound thought to give on it because it doesn't. The only thing I can think of is that they're going to say that they're trying to save money. Okay, that's always the guy that saves money, right? But then, what about the money that you're going to be making when you privatize education? I think it's a way to further, conservatives, they don't believe in public education. You know, they want the vouchers and stuff. So I can see that as a first step towards making the vouchers a national mandate, in which I'm not totally against the vouchers. If it's done in a fair way that's not detrimental to the kids and won't, but from what I see, I don't see any negative, any positive results from what they're trying to do. Because I think it's just, like I said, a first step to try to privatize education across the board. And I have a real problem with adults making money off these children and the gifts and the hard work of kids. I really have an issue with that. Because those kids put the work in, and then you mean to tell me you're a millionaire because my child is intelligent? How do you justify that? It makes no sense. So, yeah, that's what I think they're just trying to privatize it. That's it. Trying to make money. Because you already know everything they do is about money, period. They don't care if you're a child. They don't care about, look what they're doing with the border. Look how much money those agencies are making, $700 a night per immigrant. So definitely money is motivating. I mean, Nancy DeVos already said she don't believe in public education, and she's the Secretary of Education. So, I mean, everything she has tried to put forth has been, so it's for profit. So that's what I believe it's for.
That's incredible.
Next thing you know,
But isn't there a way that privatization can work for the black community? Because, I mean, charter schools, remember what Malcolm X said, we should have educated our children anyway.
You say, is there a way? Yes, there is a way. It can work. It can go, to me, it can go either way. It depends on who's pushing the button. If we're at the tail end of the privatization, then our kids are going to get left out. If we're ahead of it, then it might be extremely beneficial for us because we can pick our own curriculums. We can pick what we teach. We can choose where our money goes to as far as different things that you do, like extracurricular activities. We can decide, you know, do we want to football, basketball, soccer, whatever. We can pick also, like, teachers that teach theater. You know what I'm saying? Because my school just got a theater teacher this year. We don't have art. We have band and, let's see, what else? We ain't even got no choir. So if we have the right people in place when it happens, then it could be very beneficial. But you already know they're not going to be even and not going to be fair. Most of that is going to benefit who it always benefits. So that will be my concern. And then, like I said, they always changing the rules. So it's like,
If you have to get together, they'll change the rules so that you don't qualify, basically. That's what you're saying. So even if you got a group of people together and you have the financial backing and you have the potential, they'll probably change the rules for you not to start your own charter school, probably, right? That's basically it.
Yeah. But just like, a model example, right? When they started legalizing marijuana, right? What if they do? Okay, it's legal, but what's the buy-in? $250,000, right, to get the license and everything. See, little stuff like that, it's what it's really going to come down to.
Exactly.
Not and those are the rules that we may or may not know going into it, right? We may have, a great idea to do it, have the people in place and have the money and all of that, and it can come down to something so rudimentary as that. You need to have a certain building, something crazy. It's always something crazy.
And, of course, that's going to hurt the black community because we don't have that equity, we don't have that infrastructure in place that we can they change the rules.
Right? Exactly.
But you gotta keep on the line for a second. You know, they need congressional approval to do that.
They need congressional approval to do what?
Combine the Labor Department and the Department of Education.
And you think they can't get it? I mean, think about it. His people at both departments, and you already know Betsy DeVos, how she coming. Who is Mike? Who is it, Pompeo? Is that who it is for the Department of Labor?
Don't let me misquote you.
You gotta remember, fundamentally, this is what they believe in. They believe, because they believe, just like what y'all said, public education is indoctrination, but they believe it in another set of rules. So I can see it not happening like tomorrow, but I can see like steps being taken towards that in a very aggressive way.
Oh, and with federal statute that they blocked right now, so they could come up, they could take it out next year.
Yeah, just like how they made subtle changes to the Obamacare. You see what I'm saying? It don't have to be just scratch it out in red ink, and it's done. No, it have to always be like that for it to have the same effect.
But can we stop though? I'm gonna be over there for a second. How can we stop them for stealing our rights? How can we stop them?
How can we stop the federal government? I mean, we can bring a lawsuit, I guess. Because one thing I can say about liberals, white liberals, for the most part, they believe in public education. So I really see if it were to get to that point, I could really see some kind of lawsuit stopping them. Then again, look what we got going on with the building. So it's like I don't know.
Well,
Supreme Court been compromised now, so it's like, where do you find the retribution? I don't know where the line is standing. I don't know, because it keeps going snowballing. You start out talking about kids and education, and you have to go and think about all these other factors that contribute to that.
So voting don't do nothing?
You said what?
Voting doesn't do nothing?
I mean, I think on a local level it does, local and state level. I think it's more important than on the national level. That's just my opinion. I mean, because like zoning laws and ordinances and stuff like that, that's local, But I think it just gets lost in translation when you deal with Congress and all of it. It just, they a But at the same time, it's like, when you look at how far we've swung since we've had the GOP in control, then yes, absolutely it matters. Because they write checks left and right. You know, they just up there having a fight doing what they want to do. So, what can you do? And we ain't got no consistency yet. We don't even vote. What'd you say?
I thought that's so true.
You said what?
That's so true.
Yeah, so.
At this time, I'm going to put you on hold because I have another caller that's holding on. Let me see if he's back. Hello? You on the air 2322? Hello? 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 Okay, guess not. Thank you. I'll put him back on mute. And then I want to ask you a question. Now, you talked about the curriculum and the testing and how you don't have the time. You talked about the curriculum. Neglected and how you don't have the time with your students, but you didn't talk about, we see every year around school time teachers online begging for school supplies. What's that about?
The way I have my room set up, I don't make them bring any supplies because it sounds like, oh, you're coddling them, but you don't know what the child had to go through just to get there. You know what I'm saying? So when I have over 100 kids every day. That's a lot of counselors. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes they take them, you know what I'm saying? Then they use them. So, you know, they get sharpened all the way down, and it's just, we try to provide so much for the kids that it becomes a financial, you know, it really takes a lot. And the district, they be stingy as ever with supplies. They got a whole warehouse full of stuff, but they don't want to give you nothing. Like my school got flooded, okay? We got a whole bunch of stuff. Them kids got so much stuff. I got so much stuff. It was ridiculous. But they still got a whole bunch that if you ask for something that, you know, like, because people donated. So if you ask for something, they be acting like they don't have it. And then it just be crazy. Like, they just be doing, I be like, this for the kids. Like, why y'all hoarding it? What you hoarding it for? Like, y'all got, like, a whole pallet of pencils tucked away, things nobody don't know. You know what I'm saying? And then the district don't never supply. They want you to produce so much, but they don't never give you the adequate tools to do it. So it's like, man, we got one or two choices. We can either ask the parents or we can either do it ourselves. And depending on what kind of community you in, it's gonna determine that. Because you want to do activities with the kids. You don't want to just be that bored, you know, just doing pencil and paperwork all day. You know what I'm saying? You want to have some things that's interactive. Well, they're going to need glue, scissors, you know, stuff like that, construction paper, you know, markers, whatever. So once you start going down the list, you know, it kind of gets expensive. You got 100-something kids you're trying to do one project with, you always got to buy for 100, you know? So it just becomes expensive. So I truly believe they for real when they be asking for that stuff. Because it goes quick, and the districts and stuff, they be tripping. They ain't never got no money for this or that. Just be acting crazy. Hello?
I'm going to take another break. I'm going to put you on hold for I want to play at this time Jasmine Lynn. I know she didn't mean to kill him. So we're going to be back in about 3 minutes, okay?
All right.
That wasn't a gun. It was a wallet, my nigga. The cops done played target practice with a lot of my niggas. Poured out liquor for a lot of my niggas. So much they bottled it, built a liquor store, and put a fucking lottery in it. We in a lottery, nigga. For the lives of a lot of these niggas. They picking sevens and they scratching off a lot of these niggas. I done send birthday cards to parents with nothing but apologies. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Rainey. Sean Bell was going to marry your daughter. And you know I want to thank you for the way that she was brought up. And you know that I was smiling when you seen that cardboard. And you sent tears from heaven when you seen that boy get slaughtered. But how can Kanye complain about what the accident did to his left eye? Because they shot that boy in his left eye, let the fly right towards his right eye. He only fly in terms that he just died because the nurse cut right through his polo shirt like, motherfucker, yo, fly. I'm trying to keep you alive. I'm going to be the one who got to tell your mother you just died. Went to school, became a nurse to only clean up niggas like you. Scared to have a son because he going to look like a nigga like you. And you want to know why educated motherfuckers don't come back to the hood? Because they sick of explaining niggas like you. Killed your ass. Killed your ass, but didn't even leave your tin boots. You ain't die like a G, nigga. You tremble, but I'm the only one who saw that shit. Is this the price you gonna pay for no snitching? Because it ain't worth it. Monkeys only servants in this circus. And I know you didn't mean to kill him. But sometimes when you mix Hennessy, empty brown boys, and Wheezy, somebody will be made fresh to death. Murder ain't always a decision. It's fear's lust for temptation. It's being too scared and dangerous for your own damn good or for your own fucking hood. But I know. I know black mothers don't raise their sons to be murderers just as much as I know they don't raise them to be murdered. They would never set them up that way. This world has given them nothing at all to lose and everything to prove. So they stand on the front lines naked, ready to make a man out of themselves with the only tools, click, clack, this world has ever given a nigga to use. But I know black mothers don't breed hate and send them to their firstborn men just as much as I know she did not choose for him to be a martyr for them. Can never tell a difference between the mother of the murdered and the mother of the murderer. Both shook and solemn, both eyes and memory blue and tint, both lost their grips when they lost their sons, developed a stutter in their palms. One became scared of her shadow while the other just became one. Someone's baby became a murderer last night, and none of us remembered to cry for him, to pray for him, to ask God to take the hate and malice out of his heart, to ask him, boy, where'd you get all that hate from, all that culture from, all them damn guns, them damn guns from? Glock snapped it back like an old starter cap, bullets hit him a minute ago when he watched as his body kept bouncing. Take that boy to the hospital, way too much blood to take him home. Yes, Sonny, it really does damn near sound like a hip-hop song. And all we gave him was his Miranda rights and a couple of seconds left to plead for his life in front of a God in a world that he never thought loved him in the first place. A nigga gotta ask us to have mercy on his soul when we never even taught him how to pray before. He's gonna have to remember all by himself that he has his daddy's eyes, his nana's smile, and that his grandfather wanted him to have a Muslim name, one that meant brown soldier boy. A mother is going to have to find the audacity to not take down her son's picture when company comes over on the eves of Christmas nights. But even behind Christ on two crosses, one both on his left and his right, were thieves and murderers of men, one of which leaned over and asked him, will you remember me when you reach your kingdom? So to the boys who've made chalk outlines of so many of my childhood friends, I know you didn't mean to kill them. And I love you, and I forgive you. Because, you know, I know a God whose mercy has already made room in his kingdom for even sinners like you.
Mother to son. Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it, and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on, and reaching landings, and turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Okay, and we're back on the Scottle Talk Show on Black Thing Talk Radio, powered by the Panther People's Party. At this time, I want to try to bring in caller 2322 because we really only have like a half an hour left in the show. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah.
That's you.
I'm here.
I know you're here. I have this caller. He's been patient and holding all this time. I really would like to get with the thoughts are. Hello? Okay. As I was listening to spoken words, I was thinking, with this last half hour, as a teacher in a black community, as a black teacher, as a college graduate from an HBCU, what would your solution, moving forward so that we can have an educated children in the future?
The first thing we need to do is, as parents, we have to support our kids, period. We have to be excited about the smallest little things about them. We gotta be able to show them love, not just on their birthday, not on just Christmas, not on, you know, the pre-programmed times where you're supposed to be affectionate. That is gonna, practically, that is one thing I think that we're behind on, because we've gotten into a culture of where we expect the teacher to do everything, but you have your child more than me, so I need your support. I think we need more mentors in the schools every day. They need, because when kids know you're gonna hold them accountable, they sit up straight. They walk different. They talk different. What a kid does in my class, what he do in another class, he knows he's not going to come in my classroom with it. You see what I'm saying? But we gotta create a system. And it doesn't have to be something that's just so, what's what I'm looking for? Let's keep it simple. I believe in simple solutions. We can talk about, yes, we know we need more funding. You know, but I think we need to look and see what we can do, you know, particularly us that involves just bodies being present, you know. I think let's start right there. And then we can talk about what we need from what we need and what we can pull from the resources that are available. We need to start building cultures inside of our schools that are conducive for taking care of all the needs of the child, not just what state tested. Because before I can even get to dealing with a child who's different, or I call it the other, we got to deal with all this other stuff. So we need to focus more on taking care of the whole child. Parents, teacher, child, administrator. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Because I feel that our kids lack confidence because they feel like they can't learn. They feel like it's too hard. So we need to focus on building up that them so that they can perform. I don't agree with everything, like you said, goes back to the indoctrination part. But we still have to make sure our kids are going to be competitive. So we need to show up. We need to show up.
Okay,
even if it's not your child. You know, it ain't got to be your kid. You know what I'm saying? It don't have to be. They just need somebody. They just need somebody. Coming by checking on us. You know, did you pass the check you took Friday? You know, just simple stuff. Because kids are so, it's like we got so much technology these days that the kids are not getting what they really need, because everything is just on the phone. Everything is social media, and they're not social. You know, they disconnected because they, you know, and adults are guilty too. But they need that human interaction. It don't have to be your child. You know, I take students home instead of making them walk all the time. They never sat in my classroom. You know what I'm saying? So I think we need to focus on the simple things that we can do to get the community invested in the school. We as teachers, we got to come up out of our classrooms. We got to go out there and we got to be able to know, because every community has their most known, right? So we got to be able to know, say, oh, yeah, I know Miss Judy that sells candy. You know, simple stuff. And then that way, once we have a community invested, then we can start to become a barrier against some of these things that they're doing to take away from our school. But we have to be together. We have to all be invested, and then we can go and we can, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about this curriculum. This don't make no sense. They teach it to they overload the kid. My child is this, my child is that. I need resources. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because this ain't making no sense. But until we come together, because see, they set the rules before we even get to the table. So we got to be smart enough to know before we sit down what's going on. But if we just send the kids to school and there's no follow-up until report cards come out, then we're going to always be behind, or until a kid gets in trouble. You see what I'm saying? Then that's when you have to go. Those are the things you have to do. But what about the things that you can continue to do every day? You'll be surprised just having how just a phone call to the school from a parent would change the kid's behavior. Oh, yeah, because I'll tell them. My mama called, oh, yeah, I'll talk to your mama. And look, I call her mama's name by her first name. Oh, you know my mom is love. I said, don't worry about that. And they love, kids love that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? We got to be able to stop acting like we way up in the kids' way down there. That's not the case. Building relationships. Kids don't learn from teachers that they don't like. So we got to figure out how, as a community, as a staff as well, how we can be able to make the concessions that we need for the kids so that we can take care of the entire child. Because the system is going to keep changing, and we know that. But we got to build a culture of learning that regardless of where the kids are in life, they have a thirst for knowledge. And that's not something that you can put in the law. That's not something that money can change. That's called activism. And I think that's where we miss the ball and why we stay behind, because we're not invested in our schools like we should be. We need to know what's going on. You need to get on the call-out list. You need to be on the text message to go out, all of that. I'm on there as a parent and as a teacher. So I get, every time they send out a text or a phone call, I get robocalls 3 or 4 times. I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? And we need to answer those calls. So
I know when you're having kids, it's okay with two. You're right. You're putting out too much truth out here. But you're right. As a parent, you shouldn't be bothered when your child's school robocalls you. As a parent, you should be talking to your child's teacher. As a parent, you should be showing up to the first parent teacher's night, the second parent teacher's night, the third parent teacher's night, because you're a parent and that's your child. See, I don't get that. It used to bother me with my daughter. I would go through all the parent teacher's night, and I know like she got 30 kids in her class, and there's only 5 of us. And I'm like, and the teacher would say, well, that's what we have to deal with. We understand parents are busy and everything, but, you know, we ask them to call us. They have to email.
And it's not just.
Go ahead.
And now, hear me. It's not just the kids I work with that can't get the parents out there. Okay? It's like you say, they are working. I got to call you back, Stephanie.
For being on the show, yeah, call me back. I got 33 minutes. I have some announcements about the network I have to make, but definitely because this has been, I think this is very informative, and this is something people need to know, especially Black parents, because they're not getting this information. So definitely, so what you got to do? So I would like to take this time to talk about Black Speak Tank Radio Network and all the changes that are getting ready to happen in the next month. So, as you know, tomorrow we do have On the Move with Brother Melvin. It's Sunday night, 8 p.m. And as of Monday, July 2nd, we have a new show and it's Open for Hope Radio and the homies. So we're looking forward to that. And on Thursday, we have the Revolutionary Journal on Thursday's night, of course, at 8 p.m. And that's July 5th. Oh, I do have to say something. Oh, man. So Open for Hope Radio, Hearts of the Homie, Monday night, July 2nd is their premiere night. They start 9 o'clock Eastern time, so that's 6 p.m. Pacific. On the Move with Brother Melvin, tomorrow night, July 1st, that's still 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thursday night again, the Revolutionary Journal, that's 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's 5 p.m. Pacific, and we do have a new show that will be debuting on Tuesday. It's Spiritual Alchemy, and they will also be on at 9 p.m. Additionally, in a couple of weeks, I do believe we are bringing in a new show. Now, I've had a very patient caller all night, and I want to see if he's unmuted now. Hello? Hello? Okay. So we are definitely bringing a lot of good things to Black Think Tank Radio Network. We hope that you will listen in to all the new changes that we have come your way next month. We also are putting together a sort of summer promotion contest, plugging the radio station. We're still working out the specifics. However, I know, I'm going to leak because I'm hoping my caller will call back in with the closing. I'm going to leak some. So basically what I've heard is that the contest is going to be open to independent artists in R&B, rap, jazz, spoken word. There's going to be a cash prize, of course, like in the form of a Visa card. There's going to be an entrance fee, I believe. I think it's $10. You definitely will have your entry used on the air during all the times that we are online. We will definitely promote your entry on our social media, which is, you can find us on Facebook, Black Think Tank Radio. Also, you can check us out, the Panthers People's Party Facebook page, as well as the Panther chat group. Additionally, on Twitter, Black Think Tank Radio at BRO Brother Ozzy, I believe. That's how it's set up on Twitter. You know, it's not like technology won't let me check that, so I won't get it wrong. So give me a second here. Yeah, so check us out on social media. Okay, on Twitter we are at BROO capital. Okay, so wait, I'm sorry. Let me get it straight. So on Twitter, Black Think Tank Radio Network is at capital BRO capital OZI. And I'm on Twitter too. And, you know, you can find me on Twitter at Shadow Talk Show at capital S-H-A-D-O-W Talk Show. Whole one word. I'm so simple. Okay, so let me just make it simple. I'm simple. It's at capital Shadow Talk Show. The end. I'm also on Facebook. I do have a website. I will like to feature a lot of the contestants in the upcoming contest on my website, because that's what the website is for. Because you have to understand, here at Shadow Talk Show, it's not about me so much. It's about Black collectivism. That's my mission. We are striving to be a platform for anyone working towards Black community. You know, people say Black unity, Black empowerment. That's all the same. It's all together. It's Black community. We're striving. So I hope that you do listen to us and that you do call in and you share your thoughts on how we can stop talking about problems and start talking about solutions, realistic solutions, because, you know, talk is cheap. We need to move past that. Oh, we know the issue has been talked to death. Now, we as a community with different idealisms and ideologies and organizations, we need to find a place where we feel it's safe that we could come and we could share and we can gather our thoughts and our agendas and our missions so that we can put into work the changes that we want to see in our community, because we know we can't count on the government and we can't count on this organization and we can't count on this person. We don't need a leader. We need to, as people, just come together and join together. And we need our safe places where we could chat, we could inform, we could talk about our issues, we can, you know, communicate without having to be judged on who we are, what we're doing, our constituents, our receipts, our social media following, all of that. It's about the community, and it's about what our unique contribution can be to help make our community to, in our backyard better, as well as our community on the whole in this particular country. So I'm going to take another break. We're on Black Think Tank Radio Network. And I think at the time, you know, some last poets, when the revolution comes, it's fitting. And then I'll do some closing, and hopefully my special guest will be back.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Schiffman will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know, and I know, niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Okay, and we're back on the Shadow Talk Show on Black Think Tank Radio. I do see another caller. I'm going to... Hello, caller 8680. How are you tonight?
Hey, it's Brother Ozzy again.
Hi, Brother Ozzy. So I got like 21 minutes left. You said I really would like your thoughts on what you did get to hear tonight. I think it was a great show. I think she had a lot of information that needed to be out there, but she's also working, so. And on that, I'm going to yield and let you give me your thoughts.
I mean, I didn't get to hear everything that the sister said, but I know she was talking about education and how these schools are set up to fail, and that's one thing that we need to get out of is the prison, school to prison pipeline. We need to break that, and until we're able to break that, and that means going out here and voting for your school officials and getting people in place that realize that there needs to be a change to the curriculum that the students are taught, because we're only teaching them to be worker bees. We don't teach them to own their own businesses. We don't teach them about good credit and how important it is in this system. So if we're going to be in the system, then we need to teach our children how to survive in this system. And that's something that the schools have basically failed our children on. And on that, I'm going to yield.
Well, I know that you're on the plantation right now. A lot of what she was saying is how, you know, she's a black teacher in a black school district, and, you know, these schools don't take into consideration the different issues that these students are coming to school with, and they don't give her as a teacher, you know, enough time to deal with students that are not catching up to the module or other things. But the biggest point that she did make, and I want your thoughts on this, is that the lack of parent participation with interaction with these teachers, with these schools, who, you know, that on the parents, we can't blame the school, we can't blame the government on that. What about that part? And on that, I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, definitely as parents, you know, we do need to take responsibility and stop using school as a babysitter, basically. And we need to start being more involved with our children. I know I was more involved with mine. You know, I taught them about Denmark VC and Nate Turner and, you know, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X. You know, I taught them about all of that. That's stuff that they don't teach the children in school. You know, I taught them what the Civil War was really about, which is another thing that they don't teach in school. So definitely, the parents definitely need to take responsibility for their seed if they want to plant more seeds for the future.
That's so true. Another thing, you know, we talked about, and I kind of wanted to talk about this. We know the end game in the Washington, D.C. is privatization. How, you know, and like she said, if we are prepared, privatization may actually work for us. Now, I want your thoughts about, you know, this homeschool collectives. Homeschool collectives is when a bunch of parents come together and, you know, they come out of pocket and they have teachers come to them and they have groups and, you know, they do the socialization, but they have certified teachers teach their kids. It's not just parents teaching their kids. They have the charter schools, and, you know, like you said, charter schools, even if we have the people bringing up the financial backing, that we still, you know, when we get to the table, they're going to change, say, like, to use the example, you know, and it's true, like, they did this in Maryland. You had, with the marijuana, the medical marijuana, okay, yeah, you can come and you can certify to be a business, but now you have to have $250,000 for this license, and you have to have $500,000 in a bank over such long period of time, and your CEO's credit has to be 800, and your CSO credit has to be 800, and, you know, you have to just to look with. Is your thoughts on that part of the equation? Brother Ozzy? Hello?
We have to take responsibility for, you know, all of that. Even though that there are roadblocks in place, people have to realize that, you know, it's important to pass on information when you get information and not just hold it for yourself because you want to be rich or you want to be wealthy. You have to excuse me. It's the 4th of July. You know, they out here shooting already. So if you hear that in the background, nobody is shooting at me, but they're definitely doing fireworks. So, I mean, as far as getting the parents involved, we can only push so much, but we have to just check with the ones that are listening, that are willing to listen, that are willing to do something about the situation. And the rest, they either are going to have to follow along or they're going to get left behind. And that's you know, basically what it is. Now is not the time to be wasting energy on trying to get people to see what's going to happen. Some of us can see what's getting ready to happen, what's going to happen, and they're already planting the seeds of Civil War II out there. So I think people need to start paying attention to what's going on, because now is not a time for sitting on the fence, waiting for somebody to bring you something or waiting for somebody to give you something. Now is a time for action and to be taking action to safeguard, you know, ourselves and our children's future. because if we don't do it, you know, we're going to look back at this time and our children are going to ask their ancestors, well, what did you all do to prevent this from happening? You know, and I don't want to be the ancestor that has to answer that question. I want to be like, I did all I could do. You know, I bleed for this. I die for this if need be. And my thing is, if you don't have that mentality, then you're a fence sitter. It's either going to be one side or the other.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I want to, at this time, Brother Ozzy, I did do the radio station announcements. I do see I got 13 minutes. I want to thank Sister Yvette LaShonda Love, my special guest tonight, for giving us so much knowledge and education. I do want, you know, I'm into this spoken word stuff, so she said I can increase the voice, so you know I want to endorse something. I did talk about Open for Hope Radio, Hearts of Homies, Monday night, July 2nd, 9 o'clock. I did talk about tomorrow night on the move with Brother Melvin at 8 p.m. I did, of course, you know, talk about you on Thursday nights at 8 p.m., A Revolutionary Journal. I did mention our new show, Spiritual Alchemy, on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. And I kind of teased about this contest that we trying to get together for the station, how we trying to, like, you know, make these moves next month. And I just want to hear your thoughts about what we trying to do here as a big take radio station, as a collective. I really want you to end on that before I end on my spoken words.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I've been working on some things on my end also. The more the merrier, if people are willing to come and support their platform, because this is the people's platform. No matter how you look at it, if they're willing to come and support our platform and their platform, they can have a voice. I'm trying to put together a youth show for the young people, because I think that their voices are important and they need to be heard. And I don't think that they're heard enough out here today. And I think it's kind of disrespectful of us as elders, you know, not to listen to them or to be afraid of them or, you know, not to, you know, break bread with them, you know, because a lot of the times people will find out if you go talk to a group of youth, they're willing to listen to you. But if you don't talk to them, you know, they continue to wild out and do whatever they feel they need to do to survive, you know, whether it be right or wrong. So my thing is, you know, I wanted to put together a show for young people. So if you have any young people that are interested, you know, under the age of 20, you know, definitely put them on to Black Think Tank Radio, because we're going to have a show that's designed basically around them, around their needs and around, you know, their issues. So think of it as a teen summit, you know, bringing it back a little bit, you know, because I feel like that was a good show where the young people could communicate what was going on in their lives, you know. So definitely stay tuned, because we're going to have a lot of different things going on. And I also wanted to mention Dr. Misty will be taking over the Friday slot. Her show will be at 8 p.m. So her show is coming soon, and hopefully we'll have a full slate of shows. So with that, you know, I appreciate all the work that you do, Sister Stephanie. And, you know, as far as getting the contest together, I'm there with you. Just, you know, let me know what we need to do to get it together. And it'll come together one way or the other. And I hope we have the people to participate. And I'll definitely be putting the word out once we get everything on a concrete level. And with that, I'm going to yield.
well, you know, like, we have our little powwows, and I tell you, you know, I really appreciate the timing of this project, and I think this is what's needed. I think we need to start bringing our own media more light, and we need to get away from that celebrity-driven media and more towards our black collectivism media, and that's the only, you know, I'm only here for that. I'm only here for that black love, that black joy, that black community, that black empowerment, you know. So I'm just blessed. And we have like 8 minutes left on the show, and I just want to thank all my guests and all my callers. And education, I think, is a topic that I might have to come back to, because it's so important, because education not only affects our youth, it also affects our adults, because you're really never too old to learn. And I want you to stay tuned for everything we have in store coming up for you, starting tomorrow, basically, on Black Pink Tank Radio. I want you to follow us on Twitter again, follow us on Facebook, follow the Piazza People's Party on Facebook, join the group, the Piazza Party chat, communicate with us, let us know how we can give voice to your needs in the community. And good night.
Let's face it, you've been by my side is amazing. Feels so good, I can taste it. My love and your love, girl, is contagious. We can't replace it, face it. Damn, it's your body I've been craving. Got me confused, is this really creeping the love making? So come here, what you say? Let me introduce you to the world's way.
You don't too much really believe in superstition. Got your heart tore off, all you need is superstition. In the human race, you can run the world. She go to the beach, get sandy cheeks like the squirrel. She's a heroine, so I call her favorite girl. And I promise, you the only one I wanna lay with, girl. She wake up, she wanna cake up, then put on makeup. Then she wanna go downtown, I'm like straight up. See the skyscrapers, let's go and see the city. With the homicide dress, killing them and looking pretty. Watch me pick out a rose like amber. And I hope they catch us on camera.
You being by my side is amazing. Feels so good, I can taste it. My love and your love, girl, is contagious. We can't replace it, baby. It's your body I've been craving. Got me confused, is this really creeping the love making? Come here, what you say? Let me introduce
you. That them other hoes ain't important, cause she just wanna see the sparks fly like Jordan. Please, girl, don't get upset. We can go and watch that sunset. We can take a walk at a few parks. Let's ball together like John Stark. What I'm saying, like super. Just come my way, let me drive like Uber. I'm Klay Thompson, I'm a straight shooter. I just wanna tear her heart, cause I'm a straight looter. I'm robbing, I'm Nathan, like Dion, they waiting. We trying to get the green like we raking. Leave all your friends at home cause they hating. Treat the pussy like Mortal Kombat, I'm raiding.
Let's face it, you been by my side is amazing. Feels so good, I can taste it. My love and your love, girl, is contagious. We can't replace it, face it. Damn, it's your body I've been craving. Got
got me confused. It's just really creeping the love making. So come here, what you say? Let me introduce you to this new wordplay.
I know cloud formations, that raindrops don't fall in a teardrop shape. They originally fall in the shape of a flat oval. I don't remember where I read that. I know recycled water, tear ducts remind me of cleaning bathroom floors with a toothbrush until the bristles flatten and the tips yellow from bleach. I know how to bathe and wash a dish in steaming water, how to break one and glue it together with crazy glue, how to bathe someone else while soap suds squeeze under arms and behind ears. I know how to reach difficult places, how to be broken and put together again. I know my arms are long and my hands remind me of vines. I know laughter sometimes sounds like bubble wrap, and it's my favorite part of unpacking boxes. When I smile, I squint my eyes. I know men with deep diaphragm laughter and ladybugs aren't really ladies. I know they like to follow me into subway cars on days when I need to be reminded of magic. I know spiderwebs sparkle like diamonds after rain showers. I know yesterday is the day before tomorrow, and tomorrow is an illusion where I imagine the mouths of my children nuzzling on breasts in a rocking chair while the lavender fields in our yard cement the wind. I know Brooklyn and the man on the J train who walks barefoot through the cars must be cold in February. I know cocaine is a hell of a drug. My father used to have a beautiful smile. I know he misses his teeth. I know it's been 20 years and he still smells like a bottle of Heineken. The smell of alcohol makes me nauseous. I know I drink it anyway. I know bazooka bubblegum doesn't last long and used to come with cartoon strip giveaways. I know Swedish fish used to cost 5 cents in the bodega. I remember candy dots on sheets of paper. I know that Mr. Softy jingle means it's summertime. I know Africa is far. Hip-hop is in Senegal and Paris and Haiti. I've heard Biggie's Juicy play in all three. I know my mother used to rap and they called her Baby E. I know she gave up her dreams when she had children. I know she wishes she didn't, and I wouldn't be a poet if my mother would have had a better sense of humor. I know there are women who kill their children in alleyways and bathtubs and car seats and lakes. I know she lied about where we lived so we could get into good schools. I know good schools saved me. I know teachers help raise you. Gilgamesh, Homer, and Odyssey. I know Antigone only wanted to love someone ferociously. I want to visit Greece someday. I know there are so many words for pain. English is a slave language. It doesn't account for the space between these words, the colors, nor the texture. I know books can make you disappear. Smiles change your face, and whether laughter is forced or organically born, it has the power to release chemicals that relieve stress. I know I love being held tightly. My feet sometimes embarrass me. I wore shoes too small as a child so my mother wouldn't make fun of how big they were. I know I was well into adulthood before I ever heard her say I was beautiful. I learned to use a mirror when I was 6. I know she is still my first definition of beauty. I like my hair down more than when it's pinned up. I know little white girls are prone to getting lice in elementary school. We all suffer. And the basis of all human suffering is deception. I know we all get lonely. I know loneliness creates longing, and longing can be confused for love, and love doesn't exist, not like that. Patience is believing in the wait. I know there are guardians protecting me. I'm certain one of them is Native American. I know santeras clean people of negative energy and light tall glass cylinder candles they buy from Botanicas or Seatown or Trade Fair or Met Foods as an offering.